This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back into First Take, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Getting ready for a noon kickoff between the Commanders and the Saints here. There's only two home games left on the season. And I know I was already looking this morning, Jeff, at temperatures in Green Bay for next week.
Why
I know
are you doing that? Don't do that. Because
we're so warm here today. It's like, obviously, the contrast in that for next week will be a lot different. But the big news today is obviously the start for quarterback Jay Kaner, his first NFL career start with the black and gold, and is going to get a chance to prove what he's got. Spencer Rattler we saw for three games earlier this season, and Jake finally talked about getting ready for this moment and how he cannot wait for the noon kickoff. Here's Jake Kaner.
You know, and I played in the Denver game, I played at the Chargers game with no preparation, you know, in practice, no reps, being able to come in and move the ball. You know, I felt like I earned it. And at the same time, you know, I play with confidence every time I'm in the game, and I feel like this week's no different. You know, I had a full week of prep, feel great about it, and, you know, my teammates believe in me, believe in what we can do, and, you know, I'm excited to go out there and let it spin.
Talked about that process, too, of getting ready. He said there's no difference for him, at least, getting ready to be a backup or a starting quarterback.
You know, I've been going through my process since last year, you know, when I was working with Gruden, him allowing me to understand what my process is going to be and how to prepare like an NFL starter. So, you know, they always say, you know, just always stay prepared. I feel like I've always had this process and I've been, you know, practicing it for the last year and a half. So this week was no different. I do the same process that I've been doing, and I feel great about it.
How anxious is the youngster for this opportunity today?
You know, you got to go out there. You got to show the people that you can play in meaningful games, meaningful snaps, and you got to earn everything in this league. And I feel like that's been the theme of my life. I've had to earn everything I get. Everyone's doubted me, and I just got to go prove it.
Go out and prove it. And that's one thing, too. It's you got to think that maybe the youngster might be a little timid, a little gun shy out there against a Washington Commanders team that has had a lot of success this year. The Saints have been struggling, but for Kaner, there is no holding back.
Listen, I'm going to be confident. I'm going to let it rip. You know, I feel like I've worked too hard to go in there, you know, with that mentality of, oh, don't screw up. You know, sure. I've been preparing for this. I'm going to do everything I can. This is a must-win game. But if you look at it, we're 5-8. What do I have to lose? Right? No, seriously, like, what do I have to lose? I might never get an opportunity to start a game again. I'm going to show everybody what I'm capable of doing and let the guys know that I'm confident in doing that. You go and you win this game, things can change. So I think it's just a 1-0 mentality. Beat the Commanders and show everybody what, you know, Jake Kaner can do on Sunday.
Jeff mentioned earlier the fact that Derek Carr has been good at avoiding sacks this year, and Jeff got to ask Kaner about limiting sacks in this game against Washington.
When Derek was out, weeks what, 6 through 9, I think there was 16 sacks, and
yeah,
in the games he started there's been 8. I guess when you look at that and you see those numbers, is there kind of a through line of, you know, what needs to be different to avoid that?
You just got
to
process and get the ball out of your hand and trust what you see. you know, I'm going to do everything I can to go through my progressions, get the ball out of my hand. And, you know, obviously with Derek, he's played in this league 11 years, seen a lot of looks. And I think having him down there with me on Sunday will be huge, because once I understand kind of what is being projected at me, if what holds true on film is going to be, you know, the tail on Sunday, then, you know, I can continue to trust my prep and go. But if not, I got to react. And I think that's the beautiful thing about a pure progression offense.
Is that when you say get your ball in the hand fast? Is it more just, you know, knowing what you're looking at? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of sit back there and you're like, okay, I have an idea of what's going on here. You trust your prep. You trust what you see. You know, and that comes with experience. It doesn't happen. You go and you see a lot of these young quarterbacks, and I'm not a bet by any means, but, like, some guys don't trust what they see all the time. And that entail leads to sacks, leads to you holding the ball. So I just got to trust what I see and use my eyes to my advantage and cut it loose.
Well, one thing where Jake also cut it loose, he had a photo shoot during that a rookie NFLPA meeting, and his photos went viral for his basically his supermodel poses that he was putting out there, giving plenty of Zoolander looks.
Yeah.
With blue steel and Magnum. Well, he was asked about that and is a little embarrassed about what took place during that photo shoot. Here's what Jake Haner had to say.
Such the opposite representation of like who I actually am, and I hate it so much just because it's just like, it's whatever, I did it, I gotta own it, but I can't stand it. I would think I'm a clown if I saw that too. So yeah, I mean, it is what it is, right? You just gotta go let it rip on Sunday, and then people forget about that crap.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if people are going to forget about that, though.
Well, here's the thing. Like, he's right, though. Well, you know, I think at a certain point he should have been like, I don't mind. It's like, whatever, you know, because then people, you know. But, okay.
People know it bothers him, especially his fellow players.
Telling people it bothers you is a mistake. But he's right in the sense that, hey, you go out and win a game, no one's going to be talking about that photo shoot, right? It's the same thing with all these other things we talked about. No one's going to be talking about, oh, you got suspended to start your career, or you got passed over.
If it goes well, they're laughing with you. If it doesn't go well, they're making fun of you.
At the end of the day, you just got to go out and play good football, right? And one thing that, you know, he talked about there is a lot of times rookies and young players, when they get out on the field, they kind of get paralyzed by, I don't trust what I'm seeing. And that's, I think, the biggest hurdle that young quarterbacks have to get over in the NFL. It's a complicated game, right? It gets a lot more complicated from college to the NFL. Defenses are faster. Defenses are more complex. They're trying to fool you constantly. And understanding what you're seeing and understanding it quickly is often the key between, you know, a young quarterback getting eaten alive and a young quarterback doing enough for his team to go win a game, right? There's a difference between being a good player with high potential and a player that can actually go win a game right now on today, you know, and to do that, you have to operate at a higher level than just going out there and guessing, right? Because if you're guessing, eventually you're going to guess wrong, you know, like you have to be confident and you have to be right. And that also includes understanding when a play is dead. You know, one thing this offense needs you to be able to do is identify the dead reads quickly and move on. You can't stand there and stare at a read that's never going to come open. You have to understand, okay, this is taken away. Go to the next one. That's taken away. Check it down. Right? It's that simple, and it has to happen quickly. TTT, time to throw. That's the stat. Pocket time. How long are you standing there in the pocket going through your progressions? If he can do that quickly, I think he has a chance, and I think that's why you put him out there, because I think he has a better chance to do that.
And obviously, Haener does not have the luxury of having the Saints' top two wide receivers still out for this matchup.
Guys aren't getting open fast.
No, exactly. Rashid Shaheed done for the season, and I know there's been sightings of Chris Olave at practice, but he still has not made his way through the concussion protocol. Is that correct?
You know, it's tough. I don't know if you can technically clear the concussion protocol on IR. I think you have to come back and clear it.
Right.
It's kind of a complicated process. But he's been around the team. He traveled to New York last week. He wants to be involved. This was the first week the Saints could have feasibly brought him off of IR. There's been no indication that that's going to happen. You know, I kind of feel like, to some extent, just opening his practice window over the final 3 weeks, whether you plan to bring him back or not, would be beneficial for him just to get kind of back involved, because right. you're not getting hit anyway. It's practice, you know, but it would be a way to kind of ease his way back into the flow of things prior to the offseason. So we'll see if they do that. You know, we're still, you know, there was supposed to be an update last week. He was meeting with specialists. I think that meeting got pushed back. So we are still kind of in a holding pattern on exactly where Chris is, but it's a good sign to see him. And like, you don't sit on the sideline of a game out in December in New Jersey unless you want to be there, you know, and clearly,
hey,
Chris,
yo, what's wrong with Jersey?
It's cold is what's wrong with Jersey. You know, it's like, I saw some people say, well, he was there last week when I pointed this out. It's a lot different for a guy to show up at the Dome and stand on the sideline. It is to get on a plane and fly out to Jersey City and hang out in 40 degrees on the sideline. Like, that happens because you really want to be around the team. So
we'll see what a trooper he is next week, maybe, for the Green Bay trip.
Yeah, if he's out there, that would be impressive.
It's like, you know, I got to have another revisit with that specialist. It just so happens to be during Monday Night Football.
I have always wanted to shovel my driveway. You know, that's what, every time I talk to people about, what's it like living in the cold? Like, you got to get real excited about shoveling your driveway and scraping the ice off your windshield. You know, that's the type of thing you don't think about down here too much.
No, definitely. We were talking about, obviously, young signal callers and their struggles in the NFL. Well, a guy that hasn't been struggling, Heisman Trophy winner, LSU stud, and Jaden Daniels. He had a little bit of a rough patch, though, recently before the Commanders finally got back in the win column. But we know from the arm talent to the escapability, being able to use his legs is going to be a problem for this black and gold bunch. And veteran defensive end Cam Jordan was asked about Jaden Daniels leading up to this game.
When you come in with a young, elusive, highly mobile, I mean, we don't even have a 40 time for him, right? Because he knew he was going to be a lock. You know, the new tier of quarterback, they don't have to do things. but when you see it on film, he's looking game time fast. You know, he looks like he has elite speed. He's a quarterback, so he gets to use the sideline to his advantages, like all the other quarterbacks have been. You know, the run to the sideline, so you let up, and then they turn up the field. By the way, he can leave your fastest player because he's looks that fast on the field.
What is game time fast?
I mean, you know, some guys run a 4.4, but then you turn on the tape and they look like they run a 4.6. And some guys say they run a, you know, it says they run a 4.5, 4.6. You turn on the game film and they look like they're the fastest thing moving. Game time speed is a real thing. Just because you run a 40 and clock at a 4.3 doesn't mean you can play at a 4.3 speed. Just because you, you know, run a 5.0 40 and then you get on and, you know, 4.8 and you're beating everybody off the edge.
Cam Jordan talking about Jaden Daniels there, who has completed 69.6% of his passes this nice. Year, 2,819 yards, 15 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and you mentioned the escapability and mobile part of his game, 590 yards rushing with 6 more touchdowns on the year, 2 fumbles for him this year, but he hasn't lost any to the defense in these matchups. Getting to him, Jeff, is definitely one of the scarier prospects I've, you know, going into this game. I know we kind of joke back and forth on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. The over-under for rushing yards for him, I think, was just 39, 40 yards going into this matchup. But, you know, the Saints are going to be focusing on that, and he really hasn't run wild on teams this year, even though he is the second largest, has the second largest rushing right. cuddle for quarterbacks this season.
Yeah, I mean, it is a strange thing because you hear all about the rushing yards. He's only rushed for over 52 yards twice. He had 88 yards in the season opener, and then he had 82 yards against the Browns. I'm sorry, he also had 74 yards against the Cowboys 2 weeks ago, so or 2 games ago, I should say. They had the bye baked in there. So, yeah, I mean, he's not a guy who's necessarily looking to run constantly. The big thing for Jaden is, yeah, you know, like it's when the runs happen. Right, I think he has 36 first downs. He has more than a quarter of this of the Washington's. I almost said the R one. he has 36 of Washington's rushing first downs. Right, and that's a lot. And what will kill the Saints today? And this is what happened with Drew Lock last week. Really, is third and long, third and eight, third and nine, third and 12, third and 14. He's running for 15 yards, right? Like, he's scrambling, and then he finds just enough to extend that drive. And those are backbreakers, because those are the downs you have to get off the field on. And those are the downs that I kind of feel like, if I'm the Saints, I might be throwing a spy in the mix. I might be putting Willie Gay on the field and asking him to chase him around. Because I cannot allow him to beat me with his legs on those downs. If he goes down the field, if Terry McLaurin gets matched up with Kool-Aid and he beats him one-on-one, he goes over the top, he hits it, you got to live with it. Like, there's going to be those plays. You cannot allow him to just execute you to death on the edges of the field. But I will go off on a rant here, and I'm glad Cam brought this up. And this isn't even about Jaden, but I feel like if the NFL cares about player safety,
yeah,
if they really care about even keeping the quarterback safe, they're going to turn these sideline deeks into unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. And what do I mean? When Pat Mahomes sprints on a beeline toward the sideline and then right at the last second decides, oh, I'm going to keep running up the sideline. It was like, no, you can't do that, because the defenses are trained not to blow you up out of bounds. And if they do, they're going to get a penalty. But quarterbacks are allowed to take advantage of their own player safety rules. Josh Allen's like the biggest culprit of like sprinting downfield, going into a fake slide, and then going. You know what the result of that is? Trevor Lawrence getting blown up as he slides. Because you have these last second slides, and the quarterback's like, I'm safe now because, you know, but if I don't want to, I'm just going to keep running. Drew Lock, that long run he had on that last drive, that's what Cam's talking about. That long run that Drew Lock had late in that Giants game, he sprints to the sideline, and then the last
Everyone
second cuts up field.
Your, you know, you give up a little
right.
thinking, oh, I don't want to get a penalty.
If I hit him, I get a penalty, and then I get reamed up by my coaching staff. But then the quarterbacks are allowed to do that. So that's my rant. That's my righteous indignation of the day. If the NFL is serious about keeping quarterbacks safe, they will get penalized for fake slides and fake running out of bounds. Because that is, that, you know, it's I think to use a Mike Dettillier term, it's horse hockey. It's horse hockey. Anyway.
Cam would agree.
Cam agrees. I know he does.
We're taking a break here on First Take, checking out our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line as we head out. Morning, if the Saints offensive line can prevent sacks and the team has no penalties, they will win today. Joe from Biloxi. Well, I don't know about no penalties, but definitely have to limit those negative plays,
obviously.
Yeah, I'd
settle for no penalties. Can I check that box off on my order this morning?
Yes.
No penalties? Yeah, let's do that.